when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis coming to you with the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We thank God for this opportunity to come and bring the uncompromised preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those of you that are listening. We are a ministry here in Manchester, New Hampshire, a Pentecostal, full gospel, Bible-believing church. And if you'd like to contact us, you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. Tune in with us as we go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light Church. John chapter 15, Jesus saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Now I want you to take notice what he said. Every branch in me. Amen. There is a natural principle that he's using here, but there's a spiritual principle that he's using here, and he's going to teach us. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. So what he's saying is that there are some branches that aren't bearing fruit. Isn't that what the Bible says? Every branch in me that's not bearing fruit. Let's read here. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges or he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. You can't do anything. You can't bear anything. And that's what he goes on to say here in verse 5. I am the vine. You are what? Now he's revealing to us. He's revealing to us this illustration. He's using the vine and branches, the main stem. He says, I am that. And every branch that comes off of that vine, he says, you are the branches. I am the vine. Ye are what? The branches. Verse 5, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So that tells me there's no fruitless Christians. Amen. If you don't have any fruit, that's why I have a tough time believing that people are saved when they don't have any fruit to prove that they are a believer. Is there any fruit in your life to prove and to reveal that you are a Christian? I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If any man abide not in me, verse 6, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. In other words, you can't have any life outside of Christ. And men gather them, these branches, and cast them where? Into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Amen. I want to read it again. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear what? Much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, there's much that can be preached this morning and taught out of these 10 verses of Scripture, but I want to go back up here to verse 5. If we can all read it together, amen, in unison. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. For without me you can do nothing. I want to minister on this thought today. Oh, how we need him. How we need him. How many recognize today that outside of Christ, there really is no true life? The world is living. And when I speak of the world, I speak in the terms like the Bible says that Christ came into the world. Amen. Not only the world that he created called this planet Earth, but the world also speaks of humanity, speaks of people, speaks of nations. It speaks of our fellow man. Amen. Basically, here up on the earth, there are those that are Christians and those that are not. Amen. And what makes the religion, if you will, we could use that word loosely, but what exclusively reveals Christianity as being separated from all other religions of the world is that we believe that we serve the true and the living God, the God that only can save, set free, and deliver humanity from the power and the grip of sin. Amen. We believe that our God is the God that created all things in the universe and in beyond the universe. He is the great what? I am. He is the one that created the heavens and the earth, and there is no God, the Bible says, beside him. He asked the question, I believe, in the book of Job and in several other places where he says, where were you when I created the heavens and the earth and the stars and I named them? I am God and there is no God besides me. Amen. I remember when we went over to Africa ministering in the midst of some of the most voodoo and witchcraft, and we went right into the midst of tribal people that worshiped false gods, and they were into all types of voodoo, and they had the witch doctors, and we began to preach the gospel, and right in the middle of that big crowd of people, there were witch doctors trying to cast spells upon us to try to hinder, amen, the word of God from going forth. But all to once, we recognized, most of us that were spiritually discerning the spirit in the atmosphere, that there was a hindrance towards the power of the Word of God going forth. But as we begin to pray, as we begin to seek God, and as the Word begin to come forth with an anointing, how many of us know the Word of God has power? Amen. It has something to do when the word goes forth, it brings forth a light and it dispels the darkness. Amen. We begin to feel the atmosphere begin to lighten up and we begin to feel the powers of darkness begin to push back. What is that? That is a supernatural realm in the spiritual realm where the word of God, the Bible says that where the word of a king is, there is power. Amen. And can I tell you, as ambassadors of Christ, no matter where you go up on the face of this earth, you can go into the jungles of Africa, you can go into the deserts in a far land, you can go anywhere on this earth, amen, and as you as an ambassador and as a mouthpiece of God begin to speak the word of God, can I tell you, you will begin to see the powers of darkness push back because there is something that takes place when the truth of God's word goes forth. It dispels and pushes back the darkness that looks to hinder. I thank God for the light of truth today. Can you say amen? How many love the Word of God? The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And as we begin to look into chapter 15 of the book of John, we hear Jesus describing through the power of his word, teaching something here that is so revolutionary and something that they could understand, but yet many of them yet did not understand. But he made it pretty plain that unless you abide in me, I am the vine, and outside of me, there is no source of life. There is no source of power. There is no source of anything, because he establishes that I am the one that created all things in the heavens and in the earth. And Christ plainly told them, I have all power, I have all authority in the heavens and in the earth. And outside of me, if you are in me, you have life. How many of us know that outside of Jesus, there's no life, but in him, there is life. Hallelujah. And thank God that inside of many of us today, if you were born again, washed in the blood, and truly know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and believe in the power of this gospel, amen, you have a life inside of you that is called eternal life. And the Bible says that if we have this life, it is eternal. Somebody say eternal today. And you shall never perish. I don't know about you, but that's good news today to know that there is no death for the believer today. That, amen, that if we are in Christ, we don't have to be worried about feeling the sting of death. When the saints of God and our families, our loved ones, our fathers, our friends, our family that have passed on to the other side, and amen, their body is dead, but they had a spirit inside of them, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And thank God for the eternal life that abides in Jesus Christ today. There is life in Jesus. How many know that there's no life outside of Christ? Now listen, you can live without him in this life, but you can't die without him. You can live life and get by without him. You can live a life, and a lot of folks we know, I wonder and scratch my head, how are they getting by in this life without God? Amen. And can I tell you, there's a lot of people struggling right now. And the very fact is I still believe that there's a Savior saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you a peace. There's no greater satisfaction and feeling in the conscience of a man but to know that it is well with his soul, that his creator has given him a life inside of him that is eternal. And the Bible says that we shall never perish, and that there's no man that can pluck us out of the Father's hand. Now listen to me, I'm not going to get into whether or not folks can lose their salvation and all of that. That's not where I'm going today. But I'm simply telling you that if you abide in him and he abides in you, you shall never perish, but you shall have everlasting life. Christ is the source of life. He is the very breath that we breathe. Are you listening? You cannot live without him. The Bible says the body without the spirit is dead. When Adam was created out of the dust of the ground, the Bible says that the Lord seen Adam, and he was there in his creation, and he what? Breathed the breath of life, his spirit in through his nostrils, telling us that a body that was made by the hand of God, the handiwork of God, out of the dust and the clay of the ground. Now that body is just there, has no life, has no purpose, has no movement. But when God breathed into Adam, does anybody hear me today? And I'm going to tell you something today. What's wrong with a lot of people in the church? They need God to breathe upon them. They need the life of the Son of God to be breathed into their mortal being. Can I tell you what's wrong today with the church? That many brothers and sisters are empty. They are dry, and they have not had a real, true move of the Spirit of God in their life in a long time, and they're literally just existing in this life, going day to day without knowing what true life is. There is no greater feeling that this body can feel through the senses and through its pleasure than being experienced being in the presence of a holy God. I'm telling you, there's nothing that can compare to being in the presence of God. The Bible says that in His presence is the what? The fullness. Somebody say the fullness. I said, somebody say the fullness. That means that, amen, there is something that brings a contentment to the souls of men. There's something that we people are looking for in this life. They're trying to find it in drugs and in alcohol, in sex and in relationships. But I'm going to tell you what the world needs. They need to realize that they need the breath of life. There's something that's missing inside of them. If you feel empty and dry this morning, maybe you haven't felt like God has touched your body, mind, or spirit in a long time. You feel no real joy. You feel no peace. You feel no real satisfaction in your life. What is the problem is that you've allowed your spiritual life to wane, and to you're running on empty, if you'll let me say it that way. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, is we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, not just one time with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, but what we need more than anything is to realize that unless I abide in the vine and His life is flowing into me, that I don't know what real life is. Real need in people's life today is we need the power of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is the power of God. In Acts 1 and 8, the Bible says, amen, but you shall receive power. Somebody say power. Acts 1 and 8 said, declares that there is a power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I want you to notice that you don't receive power before, but you receive it after He breathes this breath of life in you. That church on the day of Pentecost was birthed in the power of God, and it transformed the life of all the disciples and all that heard them. And that's why Peter stood up on that day of Pentecost. He wasn't just a stinky old cussing fisherman, no more, but he had been endued with power from on high. Can I tell you what will change the lives of the most hardened sinner? We need to get them into a place where they can experience the real touch of God. They can experience more than just saying a prayer and saying, I accepted Jesus into my life. Brothers and sisters, if there's ever been a day and a time where even Christians are struggling to live a sanctified life and truly stay on fire for God, it's the day in the time that we're living. We have seen many that are turning to entertainment in the church. We are living in a day and an hour, brothers and sisters, where the Bible says, and the day shall come and the time shall come when this church age would not endure sound doctrine, but they would heap to themselves doctrines of devils. There would be seducing spirits that would creep in unaware. The church age that we are living in has turned more into entertainment that focuses more on the feelings and the emotions of people. They want to tickle the ears of people and to make them feel good with just a feeling of satisfaction. And oh, I got a little Holy Ghost goosebump. It takes more than a Holy Ghost goosebump. We need the very breath of God to be breathed into us. We need to stay attached to the vine. We need to stay. Oh, brothers and sisters, oh, we need Him. Somebody say, I need Him today. We need Him more than anything. I'm going to tell you something right now, and this ain't meant to offend anybody. And I've come to the conclusion that I can study, I can pray, I can fast for you, I can weep over God in prayer for you, I can pray for your family, I can pray for your children. A preacher can get up behind the pulpit and pour his whole heart, mind, and spirit into a message and into a sermon. But unless the people of God are praying, God cannot do anything for you. Prayer is your connection with God. So if you don't have a time of prayer, that's like a baby being separated from the umbilical cord in a womb. You separate that child from that umbilical cord. That umbilical cord is what gives that child life, gives that child, amen, the breath and all the nutrients and everything it needs to grow in the womb of a mother. Does anybody hear what I'm saying this morning? And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, listen, I'm telling you, I'm glad for men that are greatly educated, men that we have across this nation that are teaching, that are preaching. They're doing a wonderful job of bringing great revelation, knowledge, and truth to the body of Christ. Ministries that are doing great works for God. Teaching ministries. But can I tell you what we need more than teaching? And we need teaching. Don't get me wrong. Teaching is what establishes the church in doctrine and in truth so that we're not allured to the lust of the flesh. Listen, and I'm telling you, that's what we're seeing today. We're seeing the different fads go through, and we've got many entertainers that are claiming to be saved today. And I'm not going to question whether or not they're being saved, but I'm going to tell you something. A lot of what's going on today in the Christian world is driven by money. Amen. A lot of it is driven by getting people to buy their albums and buy their books. Many are being merchandised by so-called men that are really just truly glorified businessmen in the church. And we've got our focus as believers on those things. Prosperity, riches, houses, cars. The things that pertain to the flesh. And every one of us want to have those nice things. And there's nothing wrong with having those nice things. But the problem is that they get their focus on the physical rather than the spiritual. How many of us know that they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh? And it's pretty easy to discern when people are more interested in what makes them feel good rather than to receive what is good for them. Come on now, somebody, listen to what I'm saying. I remember my mom at the dinner table used to make me eat broccoli as a little boy. And one thing I hated as a little boy was broccoli. I've told this story before, but it fits right here. And I'm going to tell you something. Broccoli, I didn't like the smell of it. I didn't like the taste of it. And the dog didn't even want to eat it. So that ought to tell you something. But I knew this. My mom would always say this, it's good for you. Amen. And no doubt we know broccoli is so healthy for your body. But can I tell you, not everything that's good for you, listen to me now, is always going to taste good. It's not always going to feel good. And I'm going to tell you what we've got today. We got this cotton candy preaching today that just wants to make you feel good and make you get excited and make you get happy. But I'm going to tell you what we need is we need a proper balance, amen, in our life. There's nothing wrong with having a few little sweets, just not too many. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. What we need at times is we might as well just go ahead and toughen up and go ahead and eat our broccoli. Glory be to God. My mom says you're going to go ahead and sit here until it's finished off your plate. I don't know how many times I would grab an extra napkin and try to hide it in the napkin to throw it away. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But I can tell you this, brothers and sisters, sometimes truth hurts. Sometimes truth is hard to swallow. But what we need more than anything is to understand that Jesus is the Spirit of truth. He said, if you abide in me, what is he talking about? Abiding in his word, the Spirit of truth. He said, my spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. That's why when I look at a lot of the things, fads and moves that are going on through the church today, it's pointing in the wrong direction. It's moving the church into emotion and into a feeling. I'm going to tell you something. When preachers get up on the platform has been turned into a place of entertainment rather than to a place of sacrifice. I know some of you don't know what I'm saying, but I'm telling you this right now, that this platform, the sacred holy place where the Word of God is preached, is for a man to stand under the unction of the Holy Ghost and allow the Spirit of God to flow through him, to allow that word to, amen, be engrafted into the hearts of the people by the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? This is what we need today, is the Spirit of truth, amen, and we need to be infused with this Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth is the most important thing that you need to be guided by in the day and the hour of deception that we're living. We are living in a day and in an hour of deception. And the question is, what is of God and what is not of God? Now we've got such a mixture in the churches that many don't really have any true discernment of what is of God. Play a little bit of fast music. Get a pretty good drum beat. Get you a man that can tickle the ivories on the piano. Get talented praise and worship groups. And I'm thankful for all the talent and all the ability of the men and women of God that can play instruments and sing. But I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's nothing but entertainment unless it has the power of the Spirit of God that can transform the hearts and lives of people. I'm here to encourage you today to let you know, brothers and sisters, we need to abide in the vine. I said we need to abide in Christ in anything that is not of His word and is not of the Spirit of truth, we need to stay far away from it. As we begin to close this broadcast, we want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in today. This has been the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We are a church located here in Manchester, New Hampshire. I am the pastor of the church, Pastor N.R. Davis. And if you'd like to contact us, we would love for you to go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. For those of you that would like to write in and contact us, we're here at 417 Granite Street. That is 417 Granite Street, Manchester, New Hampshire, 03102. That is 417 Granite Street, Manchester, New Hampshire, 03102. And we thank each and every one of you for tuning in on this radio station. Until next week, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.